Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 3 of the MSX Insiders podcast. You've got your host, Sasha, along with my colleague, Jateen, and today we're going to be interviewing one of our classmates, Kayla Marvel. Before we dive in, we've spent a lot of time talking about our experiences here at Stanford from an academic perspective, from a personal perspective, but let's face it, we have so much fun here. And our episode today is a little delayed from last week because the three of us were in Las Vegas for, I think, less than 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to record our podcast pre-Vegas foam.
Yes.
We could have faked it, but we didn't. And we were doing a retrospective on Vegas foam. And it was an incredible experience. I was a last-minute planner. Sasha convinced me to join after my wife said she's going, and I felt a lot of FOMO for foam. No false alliteration there. But it was a great experience. I mean, about 400 of us took a flight on Tuesday evening to Las Vegas. We had some dinner. We spent the night partying from about 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. And then for the younger people, they take a flight back straight after the party.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that, right, Sasha?
No, I don't think I can handle that at this age. And don't forget the 70s costumes.
Yes.
So Vegas Foam is a traditional GSB experience. It's typically a Tuesday night party because we don't have classes on Wednesdays, somewhere around campus, generally with a theme. And every spring, there's this trip that we all take to Las Vegas for the night. And it was such a fun experience.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, I would say a once in a lifetime. But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that I had a hotel to sleep in. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jateen to introduce our guest for today.
Yeah, maybe just before we do that, let's just... FOAM, people ask me, like, what is FOAM, right? It's actually the fellow or friends of R.J. Miller. And R.J. Miller, the R.J. Miller scholars, rather, are the top 10% of the MBA class.
I believe so.
So everybody else are their friends that party on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
So we're firmly in the friends category, I think. So, you know, speaking of great friends, we have Kayla here, who's one of our great friends. And, you know, the way I describe Kayla is if Nick Fury came to the MSX class to recruit for the Avengers, she would be the most likely person selected. You know, she's got like an incredible story. So I'm not going to steal her thunder, but let's just kind of go through a quick intro. So Kayla's got a mathematics degree from Middleburg College. She's then got an associate degree in brewing from the Siebel Institute of Technology, a culinary degree from the International Culinary Center, is a Forbes 30 Under 30 list maker, and finally the co-founder and CEO of Lamplight Breweries. So, welcome, Kayla.
Thank you so much. I'm blushing. The Avenger thing is the nicest thing anyone said about me. No, thank you guys so much for having me on this podcast. I think it's an incredible thing that you're doing, and I'm very honored to be part of it. So, Jateen, like you said, I have really grown up working in the hospitality industry. My first job was when I was 14 years old, washing dishes at a local restaurant, and I fell in love with the people and the energy and the industry as a whole, and I've been in food and beverage ever since. So the most recent project has been co-founding and running Lamplighter Brewing in Cambridge with my business partner and now my fiance, actually.
Yeah.
And that's been certainly a journey. We've learned a lot. It's grown into a multi-million dollar company with multiple locations, over 100 employees. And a reason to come to Stanford is I found out how much I loved business and how much I still had left to learn to go make an impact on the world.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, right? I mean, you know, you're obviously coming into Stanford as a non-tech entrepreneur, and we're going to go into that. But let's kind of dial all the way back, right? You're doing a mathematics degree. You then do a little bit of culinary school, and then you end up starting a brewery. Just talk us through, you know, that thinking from being a mathematician to being a brewer.
Totally. It is kind of an interesting Venn diagram that does overlap, I promise.
Yeah.
So the math degree, in all honesty, I'm a big nerd. I love math. I got to college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, didn't know what I wanted to study, and math was something I enjoyed. So I decided to pursue that as a major, and in a lot of ways, you know, I'm not doing calculus on a day-to-day basis, but certainly it served me to have that familiarity with numbers and the safety with logic and being able to apply that into business and finance. And part of what I enjoy the most has been different budget setting, data, analytics, communicating with investors and the bank. And I think that strong math foundation has helped me achieve that. I mean, the culinary school component, I just love food. Again, I love the industry. I think food is my love language in a lot of ways.
That's why we're
friends. Yeah. I love cooking for people. I love eating and sharing meals with people. I think it's a universal thing that we all share. And there's so much connection to be had through food. So I knew whatever I did in my career and whatever I continue to do will be something based in that nourishment and that connection that we all share. And beer is kind of funny because, well, I don't know, I like beer too.
Don't be all right.
Yeah. I was homebrewing in college. I was dead broke. I needed cheap alcohol for me and my friends. So I started brewing it in my dorm room. And I really enjoyed doing that as well. So the entrepreneur journey just took off when I saw the business opportunity in Cambridge to open a brewery.
Kayla, you're one of the few people who seem to be taking their hobby and making it their profession. And you can see the joy in your face as you describe your journey to brewing. You know, one of the interesting things about Kayla is she lives in the same building as me across the road in Schwab. And she's turned her second bedroom into pretty much a mini restaurant, right? And she's hosted a few people. She's hosted Sasha and I for dinner. We've made dumplings over there, had some amazing pizzas.
And don't forget her beer.
Yeah, of course, right? She hosted us for a brewing event. And you know, that just brings us all together, right? And I think food is such a central part of the MSX experience. And I guess, you know, how has that shaped, you know, how those dinners, et cetera, shaped your view on the Stanford community and building relationships, et cetera?
Totally. I think I recognized pretty early on that this was something I could offer to our community. And that was really exciting for me to be able to form connections and share a skill and a passion with other people, because everyone's bringing such diverse backgrounds and experiences and talents into this program. And this was mine, and it's fun, and hopefully people have enjoyed it. And you're right, I turned half of my room into an entertainment space because I love hosting dinner parties and having people over, and that's been a huge way to find connection and community here.
And now if we take it back to the business, right? You know, you're obviously at Stanford, you're doing a bunch of entrepreneurial courses, business courses, and you've got the benefit of having built a business up from scratch and now taking a step back and looking at it from a completely different perspective. You know, if you look at the lessons you learned here at the business school, what would you have done differently in the business, you know, if you had done Stanford prior to building the brewery?
That's a really interesting question. Certainly a lot. I mean, I've learned so much here, both hard skills and soft skills. And I think I don't regret anything that we've done at the brewery. I think there's huge value in failing and iterating and learning on the fly. But the one that immediately jumps to mind is how many amazing mentors, advisors, peers, just the community that Stanford offers that I now can rely on for advice in different situations. So I think early on in the brewery, we really didn't have a ton of people to sound ideas who had done this before, etc. Whereas now, between our professors and our classmates, no matter what problem I run into, I have people who I can call who have they're maybe dealt with it before, or they're going to have really insightful advice. So that would be huge in building the next venture.
I remember this time, I think early in, I think the organizational behavior class, and you had like your operations executive resign or something like that. And I remember saying, hey, let me chat to Frank Flynn and find out what his take is on it, right? And I remember sitting in class next to Kayla doing some economics, what we call them, problem sets in class. And like, you know, thinking about how that would apply to the brewery. And then she had her kind of dashboard for a brewery on the same screen. I was like, wow, Kayla is badass. She's got a lot on her plate at this point in time.
So. And I know you're getting a lot out of our current class MGE as well, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's wild. I feel like every day I'm sending an email to someone at the brewery being like, guys, have we thought about this? Let's do this. I'm sure our whole staff is like, dear God, leave us alone. But it's true. It's been very valuable.
And obviously, AC, your partner, is still involved in the business. I mean, how does he interact with you in terms of your suggestions and the kind of bright sparks you picked up here at Stanford?
I have to be diplomatic. No, he's wonderful about it. He's actually in a program at MIT at the same time, so that's been really nice as well, because we can talk to each other about all these things we're learning, and it helps me reflect. I think it helps me cement a lot of the ideas as well.
Hmm. And, you know, the one interesting thing about you, Kayla, is you have a non-tech business experience here in Silicon Valley, which is extremely tech-focused. You know, all of everything around us is generative AI. It's about, you know, how to leverage that in your business. But how did you feel about, you know, bringing your entrepreneurial experience here as a non-tech founder? And what's been challenging, and what have you found that's really worked for you in that space?
Sure. So I truthfully don't think I thought about it much at all that I was a non-tech founder coming in. I think Silicon Valley and the Bay Area in general has so much innovation happening beyond just tech. And so a lot of that is in food innovation, which is really cool. And what I'm really interested in next is alternative proteins and cultivated meat, which maybe we can talk about later on, but that's really happening in this ecosystem. So that was super exciting to me to come to Stanford for that reason. But I also think I chose the Stanford Business School because I liked the people first aspect, the leading with empathy component.
Yeah.
And that's something I've really tried to do over my professional career. So that's what spoke to me about this program, not necessarily Silicon Valley tech, et cetera.
Yeah, we were just chatting right before recording this about the famous Tachifili class, which I think Jatine and I should probably spend an entire episode on that. But I think that is one of the sort of core courses, quote unquote, that teaches us how to be empathetic leaders. And I think that's what makes Stanford kind of stand out as well.
I resonate with that.
Yeah, it's a, you know, we're just coming off the retreat there, and it's an amazing process. And I guess, you know, if you look at the environment that you're in, your fellow entrepreneurs, I'm sure it's such a rich testing ground for learning from some other people that have built businesses. And, you know, the class has so much experience there. I mean, just talk us through some of the ideas you've exchanged with your fellow entrepreneurs that have gone through this journey. And, you know, what's that community like in terms of former founders like in the class?
It's amazing. I think, again, I just haven't had this support system or network before this of peers or other entrepreneurs, whether it is in food and beverage or another industry. And so to talk through, maybe it's needing to fire an employee or having a really difficult conversation with our team, or things they've dealt with and the pressure of being on top and being in this position, it's really refreshing to have those conversations and to speak honestly and openly about it. And I mean, we're kind of touching on touchy-feely and that whole aspect, but it is emotional intelligence and empathy and being able to form those relationships with people here.
Yeah, the network is incredibly powerful. I mean, it just gives you access to so many people. Like if one person meets five people and we've got 70 people doing that, it just gives you a whole range of possibilities, which I found incredibly powerful for, you know, hopefully our next step. So, I mean, I'm going to hand over to Sasha to mix it up a little bit, because, I mean, we haven't really touched on the reason why Kayla is potentially an Avenger.
Exactly. I think a very big part of your personality, from what I've learned over the last couple of months, is this whole aspect of loving adventure. Why don't you share a little bit about outside of school, outside of your responsibilities, what do you like to do on the weekends?
Sure. So I'm a big mountain biker and trail runner. I really just love playing outside and doing anything that's going to be outdoors, in the woods, be reasonably athletic, let me hang out with friends and my dog, and adventure and explore.
Let's calibrate this for our audience who don't know you as well, right? We have people who like these things. We like to go hiking on the weekends, you know, maybe we like to go skiing. But you take it to a whole different level. I mean, over the winter break, you and a couple of our classmates went sailing around the Caribbean without a pilot. One of our classmates
was
a pilot.
She was a captain. Yeah.
A captain, sorry. I don't know the right lingo. And you did an adventure race last quarter, was it? You want to tell a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this is kind of a silly thing, but adventure racing, for those that don't know, is a combination of mountain biking and orienteering and trail running and canoeing or paddling over usually a 24-hour plus period. And my team qualified for nationals, which was very exciting. But unfortunately, our third teammate had to drop out. And so we were going to disqualify ourselves. But then suddenly, the SO of one of my best friends in the class raised his hand and said, oh, I'll do it with you.
And now he's your new adventuring partner.
Exactly. Now he's getting roped into all the adventures. So I found someone as equally psycho as me to go do these things, which has been amazing.
What's your next big adventure coming up?
Well, the two of us are doing the Grand Traverse race, which is a 40-mile backcountry ski race from Crested Butte to Aspen in March. So, you know, pray for me in March.
And then in April, I think you've also gathered quite a cohort of people.
That's true.
What's the race called again?
The Ragnar race. Jatine's been roped into this one, which is exciting.
Okay. I'm going to join in the camper van, and I'm going to hit the spas along the way from San Diego to LA. That's more my speed.
You know, that's a very important role. It's necessary. Thank you for doing that.
Chief comfort officer, right?
Exactly. I love that. But, you know, honest question here. Our minutes, our hours are so valuable. How do you find this balance between focusing on your career, figuring out what you want to do next, doing coursework, and making time for, you know, the things that you love in life?
That is such a great question. I do not have a perfect answer. I think that the work, academic, life balance here is tricky because, as others have alluded to, there's just, you're constantly double booked, triple booked, quadruple booked. You have to start saying no to so many different things. For me, actually, one of the most valuable pieces of advice was orientation week, when the academic advisors told us to make a list of the things we needed to stay happy, healthy, show up as our best selves. And I recognized this kind of chaotic, crazy exercise was one of those. I needed that time to push myself in a way that wasn't necessarily mental. I needed time to reflect. And so I have prioritized that.
Yeah,
but it's really tough. There's so many fun things to do. There's amazing speakers. There's always social things. The academics are incredible. I want to hang out with everyone, you know? So the FOMO is real, and saying no is an art form here.
Yeah. I'm sure it does help, though, that you've also found, like, within the MSX cohort, like, your community of people that also enjoy those kind of activities, right?
Absolutely.
Like, Merritt is, like, also, you know, maybe Miss Marvel number two, you know? So I think that definitely helps to find sort of like-minded people that enjoy your same and similar passions.
It's so true. And that is a really big component of it. I don't like doing this stuff individually. Mm-hmm. Like, the adventure racing is a team sport. These trips have been team, the Ragnar things. I love the camaraderie that comes from it. And I think it's actually applicable to business and leadership.
Absolutely. So maybe switching gears a little bit more into your personal life. So we've talked about AC. You guys got engaged during the program.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been great because we have a couple of couples that got engaged during our time here. So we're excited to celebrate with everybody in a couple of weeks.
Milking the engagement party. It's been great.
But you also mentioned AC is currently doing his own program at MIT, and which is obviously in Boston, all the way across the country. And you guys had, you know, two dogs, and you've brought one of them here with you, the lovely Noodles. You want to talk a little bit about how you balance your own personal relationships as well?
Totally. So AC and I have been together 11 years, and this is the first time we've ever done long distance. So that's been tricky to navigate, but there are others here in that situation. And so having them as a resource and someone to talk to is really nice. And I think in a lot of ways, it's been amazing for us because we've been able to create new relationships and pursue passions. And then again, connect on the phone each day and talk about what we did, be really excited for each other. So it's definitely, you know, bittersweet, but had its positives. But Noodles, the other love of my life, my Bernadoodle, is here with me as my emotional support animal. And okay, I will say, you have to have a registered ESA to have them live in the dorms with you. And at first I was a little like, oh, am I gaming the system? I don't know. But you genuinely need emotional support here. And he is an emotional support buddy. I mean, there's nothing better than showing back up after a long day of classes to Noodles at the door, tail wagging, so excited to see me. It's like, oh, my heart.
When AC was here for a couple of weeks, I think I saw Noodles, and I spotted Noodles on the GSB campus more than I saw you.
He is a mini
and
celebrity.
It was the highlight of my day, I would say that.
I resonate, definitely. definitely.
I want to touch a little bit on sort of being active within the GSB community. You are part of the Women in Management, otherwise known as the WIM organization, and you're our MSX liaison. You want to talk a little bit about your involvement there and what really, you know, WIM is trying to do?
Totally. So WIM is the biggest club at the GSB, actually, and it's supporting women in management. So there's all sorts of different programming, from small group dinners to the annual banquet, the annual retreat, to help women further education or support or resources at the GSB. And the MSX liaison role is essentially helping the WIM leadership and how can they connect with the MSX more? How can we get the programming also to our cohort? And it's been amazing because I've been able to meet MBAs that I wouldn't have otherwise met and get involved in a leadership role and programming of what I think is an amazing organization and a cause I feel very passionate about.
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest benefits or legacies I think that the prior MSX Student Association left for us was making sure that there are MSX voices across all of the student organizations and as part of the leadership teams. And I think that A, helps us build a better sense of community and integration with the MBAs, but it also allows our voices and our, you know, priorities and challenges to be heard in the broader community. So I think that's wonderful. And you're just the perfect person to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows there's a lot going on at Stanford outside of the academic experience, the community. And Kayla, you're a great example of how you balance it all and have fun at the same time, because I think it can get really exhausting at times. You know, obviously we've been talking about the great elements about the program, but, you know, it gets challenging at times, and it's you're doing a lot of things and you're trying to balance your academics and hand in assignments and go for leadership meetings and try and figure out what you're doing next. And it can get overwhelming at times. And I think having these pillars of stability, you know, that you have makes everyone feel like, hey, they can do it as well, right? And I think that's a big community element to finding this work-life balance, or what do you call it, student life.
Yeah.
Find balance. And it's challenging, right? I think, you know, we're all at the end of the quarter now and we can feel that we're looking forward to our break in 2 weeks' time. So,
exactly.
Yeah, what are you up to on the break, Kayla?
Oh, I am going to Tulum, Mexico to go wedding venue scouting.
Wow.
With AC. Yay. So pretty fun. And then to Colorado to do this ski race I was alluding to.
Yeah, okay. A little relaxation,
yeah.
A little hectic.
Exactly, exactly. You both are off to Japan, right?
I'm not. I'm going to actually hang out in LA. I haven't spent enough time doing California properly, so I'm going to just enjoy my time here on the West Coast. And Sasha's off to Japan, right?
I'm off to Japan for about 10 days. I think there's about 20 of us going.
Wow.
With quite a varied itinerary, from people doing skiing in the northern part of Japan. A bunch of us are meeting in Tokyo and in Kyoto. I'm just excited to do some shopping and eating and being in a proper city. But it'll be good.
Checking out the spas as well, right?
Oh, yeah. We're doing an onsen. Yeah, for sure. Definitely wouldn't miss that. But we're going to come back, and it's going to be our last quarter. I think you and I were chatting on our walk last night about how we want to still balance the fun.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we make time for fun. And I think that's where we also build that sense of community and honestly, just great memories.
100% agree.
So all of us are registering for our classes starting today, and we're keeping that in mind so that we make some time for fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I was looking at the courses yesterday, and I was debating whether I do a computer science course.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, do I want to spend time working really hard and doing things that I've done before but at Stanford, or do I just want to enjoy the experience? And I think that's going to be the balance over the next quarter.
Yeah.
Of savoring the moment, right?
Exactly.
Making sure we spend time with each other and do get the best that Stanford can offer at the same time, right? So yeah, it's a little bit bittersweet that we, you know, almost the last quarter, and I think we'll take a break from the podcast for 2 weeks and return in April, the spring quarter, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So speaking of the future, you'd mentioned a little bit about kind of the area that you want to focus on. You want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So to preface, I did not come to Stanford really having any idea what I wanted to do next. I figured it would be in food and was very interested in making a positive impact on food systems and figuring out how to do that. But this has really been quite the journey of exploration over the past 8 months. And I have found that I feel very passionate about making a difference somewhere in the world. And I think the motto here, right, is change lives change, organizations change the world. And at first you kind of roll your eyes or like, okay, Stanford.
Right.
But man, I have drank the Kool-Aid and I am ready to do all those things. And the way that I think I can have the biggest impact is in this field of alternative proteins and cultivated meat. So I am really concerned with the global warming effects of livestock, so the climate impact of meat, also the ethical concerns of the people working in this industry, and of course the humane nature, the animals themselves, right? Mm-hmm. This is really problematic. But I also don't think that we're going to find a solution in just Beyond Meat and Impossible Meat mm-hmm. and plant substitutes. I think we need to pivot the way that we produce actual meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so cultivated meat, for those that don't know, is literal animal protein that's grown in a lab or a fermenter, like a brewery setting. So it's quite applicable to my background and my technical knowledge. And again, there's a ton of it happening in the Bay Area. So I don't know exactly what I want to do in that field, but in the spring, I'm going to do a 390 to explore it more, which Amazing. Is an independent study opportunity, and that's super exciting. So it's all these career hypotheses, all this soft skill, hard skill learning, et cetera. I'm very excited that it's kind of coming to this head in the spring to really figure out, okay, what can I do to translate all of this into the industry and have an impact?
And I recall you also found a couple of classes around this topic at other Stanford programs as well,
yeah.
right? Other Stanford schools.
Which is wild. I mean, there's so much going on at the GSB, and then you start to dip a toe into the other mm-hmm. schools, and it's like, holy moly, how are we supposed to do all this?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a Rethinking Meat class through the Door School of Sustainability
yeah.
that's all about this exact topic. So suddenly this whole network has opened up for me there, and that's been amazing. And through the medical school as well, I've taken a few classes in food systems. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, if we go and do the Graham Weaver exercise, and Kayla, if you had to close your eyes and imagine where you're going to be in 10 years' time, what does it look like for you?
Oh, boy. I am living in a mountain town in Colorado, and I ski and hike and bike all the time, but I'm also running this crazy cultivated meat company that's gone global and has solved factory farming, and I'm changing the world, and I also host weekly dinner parties with all my friends.
Exactly. Hope to be invited for that.
Of course, of course.
So in the last couple of minutes here, a lot of people listening to this podcast are prospective students or people who want to learn more about the MSX program. What are two pieces of advice you'd like to share?
Yeah, so the first one is that there's a program in the summer called Storytelling BBLs, where all MSX folks get a chance to tell a personal or professional, any sort of story to the whole cohort for 7 minutes. And you don't have to do it. It's voluntary to sign up. But that was such an impactful program for me to learn more about our classmates on not just, you know, this is who I am, this is what I've done in my career, but on a really deeper, more personal level, and immediately made me feel more connected to everyone.
Yeah.
So my advice would be either give an actual BBL or just go to as many as you can. Really participate in the whole process. What else? I think that there's so many different ideas floating around here
yeah.
and so much to learn and so much to do, like we've talked about. Something that's been really helpful to me is I've started carrying a journal around with me. How old-fashioned, right? And in class, if there's any sort of comment, like this is a startup idea I have, or a quote by a professor, or a small little framework, I'll just write it in this journal, or even something as silly as, this is a restaurant recommendation someone made. And then at the end of the day, I take 15, 20 minutes to just synthesize all those thoughts, put them on the various lists, etc., going on in my computer, whatever. And it really helps to kind of reflect and have that framework.
I have that for books.
Mm.
The number of book recommendations
yes.
that I hear in passing, or a professor mentions in the class, oh, this is a great book, and I literally just write it down, go home, add it to my Amazon cart, and one day I will eventually get to reading it.
Genius. I love that. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I need to do a little bit more of that in the last quarter. So, you know, if we just look back at this podcast, I think, you know, what I've learned from Kayla is that, you know, you can start out in one direction in mathematics and you can really follow your passions. And, you know, your passions can be inside of work and outside of work, right? Like this work-life balance can be, you can be extremely passionate about it. And you can see the joy in Kayla's face when she talks about doing a 40-mile cross-country skiing, which I don't think many of us are capable of doing, but it's incredible to see how you thrive in that work-life balance. And finally, just having like a clear picture of what the future looks like is important, because this place has so much to offer. And if you know what you want to focus on, you can really make the most of this environment, right?
Absolutely. I think the one thing I've learned from Miss Marvel is that you can do it all.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Kayla. We've got one more episode coming up for everyone next week before we go on holiday, and we're super excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be the last one. And thank you, Kayla, for being the first female guest on our podcast.
Yes, thank you.
I think it represents the range and diversity of our class, and we'll dig into that a little bit more over the next couple of weeks. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in hopefully a week's time.